Good afternoon. This is Rebecca Schiffler Marshall with Centered Living, and I'm excited to share with you today three steps to less stress. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And when I was thinking about my summer, planning my summer here in Georgia, the schools are already out. Everybody is out of school. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to happen this summer and how I wanted to be, I know this sounds crazy, but summer is actually very stressful to me, and it has been. I've noticed this for several years. The kids are out of school, and things are not as much routine. Work is always, there's work being required at my university job, but also we're not being paid in the summer. So it takes a lot more effort, same amount of work to be done, but there's a different kind of expectation to it. Like, we should be having fun all the time, but yet work is expected. So we think that we're going to get more done, but in less time. So that becomes very stressful, or the stress can be even outside of work, but can be about being a better mother or a certain kind of mother, or around a relationship. Stress about being who you are or what you want to do. So I wanted to offer this class for others who are feeling stressed or who are feeling overwhelmed. And that's what this class is about. And I just wanted to make sure that you knew that there's one thing you can walk away from with this class, that there is a way to have less stress. There is a way to have the same situation that you're in, the circumstances could be the same, and you could feel much less stressed or even not stressed at all. So I'm going to teach you just a few of those tools today. These are the tools that I use for myself, I use with my clients, and hopefully that you'll find that this is helpful for you and you'll feel the effects of having used these tools and having less stress. So I know that for me, these tools have been a huge benefit because I've lived it. You know, I went from being in my 20s. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I went from being in my 20s with just a huge mountain of stress. My diet was horrendous. I was in graduate school. I didn't really know how to say no to people. And this led to me going to a doctor over several trips. I had lots of diagnoses and lots of suggestions, but really they just said, well, you just need to be less stressed. And it was like, oh, okay, well, how do I do that? What do I do? So I really started searching. I had these strange dizzy spells and high cholesterol for being in my 20s and migraines and fatigue and excessive worry and self-critical thoughts, and I really didn't know how to be less stressed. In fact, I thought the way I was, I didn't really even know that that was stressed. I thought that's just how everyone was all the time. So I started looking for other ways to change my life. I changed my diet. I became a vegetarian. I found that I had hypoglycemia, so I actually cut out all my sugar. Changed my diet because I had high cholesterol too. I had fibroadenomas. I didn't really know what to do about the migraines. I tried pharmaceuticals for a while, but found that that was really not a solution for me, not a long-term solution. And then I was diagnosed also with polycystic ovarian syndrome and irritable bowel syndrome, and all of those were because of stress. And they said, you know, the doctor said, you need more sleep. And so I changed my life. I did actually start scheduling sleep. I started doing yoga. And I went to someone who helped me a lot with changing my diet, too. Meditation became more of a priority. And I actually learned how to be less stressed. So these lifestyle changes started becoming easier. They started becoming more part of my regular everyday. So as I changed these things, my health dramatically changed. My cholesterol dropped. my headaches, my migraines disappeared. My life just actually started working. And each year I started building and adding things in. And what I've learned over all these years, what started many years ago, is that it wasn't just one thing for me that helped with stress. Often people would say, well, try this. And I would try that one thing, like meditation, which was wonderful, but it didn't really solve my problem. It didn't get rid of the stress. And so I tried yoga, and that helped also. But again, it didn't solve my stress. So what I've developed is really a multimodal approach to healing stress. So I've included in not only in today, but also in programs that I work with clients, I've developed this approach, including multiple areas because of the research that I've done looking at how to help individuals who are stressed, and also my personal experience. So by combining these approaches, the idea is that you'll have a very rich system and be able to better rewire your brain. What happens is the brain becomes used to those neural pathways that it says, oh, this is what I'm used to doing. I'm stressed. This is how I react. This is what happens. And it becomes even more than habitual. It's not just a habit. Habit sounds like, well, you can just stop anytime you want. It becomes a neuronal pathway. That's part of what I also study at the university is how the brain works and how we can change the brain in therapy. So today we're going to talk about three different steps, three different areas, and I'm going to give you tips in each one. So the three areas are the body, the breath, and the mind. And those are the three areas. Those aren't the only areas that I work with when I'm working with clients, but those are the three areas that I thought to kind of narrow it down. We only have a 1 hour call today, and I want to be able to give you something that you can walk away with and really use and do something with today. So first, we're going to talk about the body. And the body, really, when I'm, you know, the body is kind of a large, it's a broad category. But we're going to talk about how we can use the body to help decrease the stress without having to do anything else. So we can really use the way the physiological system is set up in order to help deal with stress. And we can do that a couple of different ways. And then we'll move into the breath. And the breath is also, it's really interesting because it can also change the physiological system depending on how you change the breathing. So when you change the breath, you can change your emotions. You can change how you feel. And then we'll also talk about the mind and some ways that you can work with changing the mind, working with the mind, which is, you know, something that years ago I had no idea that, you know, what was going on in the mind is actually something that we could change. I thought, well, it just was the way it was. We were kind of born with our minds, and that's the way it was. We were kind of stuck there. So those are the three areas, body, breath, and mind. So first, let's start with the body. And, you know, this is a more concrete way. A lot of people kind of get this piece. A lot of people say, well, I run because it's a stress reduction, or I exercise for stress reduction, which is great. That is totally true. There's fantastic research that supports individuals who exercise actually have less stress, find something that lights you up, that is exciting to you. You don't feel like you have to go to a gym if you don't like gyms. I'm personally not a gym person. I love being out in nature and walking in nature. There's really good research about being in nature as well. But so we're going to start with this more physical. When we're stressed, the body reacts physiologically. And I want to tell you just a little bit about the stress cycle, because this is something I've read a lot about in research and I'm very familiar with. So I'm going to kind of just give you the basic breakdown. What happens when we're stressed, when we identify that something is wrong and it's stressful to us, and that could be a dangerous situation, you know, like some people call it a clear and present danger, like there's a tiger running after you, right? That's very stressful. Or it could be what most of us deal with stress, which could be the house is not clean and my mother will be here in 15 minutes to see my house and the children. Or that project is due at work and there's a deadline for that. And when that happens, when we have that stressful response, the body releases these stress hormones. One of them, the one that most people talk about, is cortisol. Cortisol is, it's great when we want to run to outrun that tiger. It's fantastic. It actually can give us a little boost. But what's the problem is with too much cortisol, is it actually starts breaking down the body and creating an aging process. The genes that are responsible for aging, these telomeres at the ends of the genes, they're like little caps at the end of our genome, they start disintegrating and we start aging more quickly. So this is one of the things that happens is we have too much cortisol in the system and the body thinks, it's almost like a an acceleration that gets stuck, like when you're driving and you have your foot on the accelerator. And it's almost like you take your foot off, but the accelerator gets stuck there when we keep thinking one thing after another, oh, I've got to get this done, I've got this project. So that's cortisol. And it can burn out, if there's too much, it can burn out your adrenal glands. What also happens physiologically is your heart rate rises, or you have this spike where the heart starts beating faster. And often you may hear this, like when someone, you know, this happens to me when someone calls on me, like in class, Rebecca, what do you have to say about that situation? It's like, ooh, you know, in a faculty meeting. The heart rate rises, and then also adrenaline increases. And those are that's what can help us move quickly, right? If we have a little adrenaline jolt, and that can be really good, again, when you're outrunning the tiger, but not so good when you want to feel calm. So a little bit of stress is good, but a lot is not good. That's something called the Yerkes-Dodson Law. So with what happens with all these different things are happening, it's the sympathetic nervous system that gets activated. The fight or flight response gets activated when we're stressed. And again, this is good when we're running from tigers. It helps keeps us straight because it safe because it floods blood to the large muscles. It takes it away from the stomach and actually from the brain as well, which decreases our ability to think, our cognition. It puts us on hyper alert. But when the tiger is not there, when the deadline is over, the parasympathetic system, the rest and digest system, that would be helpful to that's what we want to take over, the rest and digest. That's what we want our system to return to normal. And as I said, often in today's society, that what we think is the tiger, what we think is clear and present danger, never really goes away, right? We're driving and there's traffic and we feel stressed. We are running late to our meeting and we feel stressed. The kids are yelling while we're on the phone and we feel stressed. Or we didn't get them into the camp they wanted and we feel stressed. Or the relationship is not working out like we planned. So all that triggers stress, and there's always seems to be something that's stressing us out. So the body can't tell the difference between the tiger and the work deadline. And this is a problem. This is a real problem for us. So we don't have the ability to turn on that parasympathetic rest and digest as easily. And that's why so many people say that they're stressed all the time. Now, when we are able to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest, the heart rate slows, the stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, they decrease, and then we feel relaxed. And that's what we all want, right? Is to feel relaxed and more peaceful and more calm, even if we have a deadline, even if the kids are driving us crazy. So what I want to do with you today is help to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, that rest and digest nervous system. And there are a couple ways that we can do that through the body. So I'm coming back to our three things, okay? Remember, the body was number one. So with the body being, we're able to actually activate that relaxation response. And I'm going to give you a couple of different ways that we can do that. And there's some great research on this. One is really easy, and it's called the power pose. Amy Cuddy, who's out of Harvard, suggested this, did some research on this, and has suggested that this is a fantastic way to lower stress. So the way to do this is as simple as standing up, and if you are able to do this, I recommend that you do this, can stand up with your legs wide apart, and you can either, you can do a couple different things. When you can put your hands on your hips, kind of like Wonder Woman, okay? So take 2 minutes. We'll see if we can just stand for 2 minutes like this, in your power pose, and just notice what's happening and see what's happening in your body. You don't even have to notice. You can just stand in power pose. So if you're in a meeting or your kids are there or you're wondering what to do about your crazy ex, you can just place your hands on your hips. People will actually see you as in control of the situation as well. It's what our research has shown. Let's do one more minute like this. And just notice how easy it is. Like, you don't have to buy any equipment. You don't have to do anything except stand there with your hands on your hips. You could also raise your hands over your head. It's a little bit more. People might notice that a little bit more, but that's another option. Okay. So that's one tool of activating, one example of activating the parasympathetic nervous system. Whew, I feel better. I hope you do too. So that's one way. I'm going to give you another way to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. For this one, let's first just kind of identify if you're feeling stressed right now, which you may not be since we just did that power pose, but let's think of a situation that you might be stressed in. So, you know, for me, it can be as simple as, I'll give you the example from yesterday, I got the times wrong for my kids' camps, for one of them, and I thought I had more time to finish up some things for this class that I was working on. So I thought I had this extra hour and a half. And so that the thought in my head was, I don't have enough time. All right, and we'll get to the mind part about it, but that's what came up. So when I think about that, when I think that thought, and I have that, imagine that circumstance, that stressful situation, in my body, when I tune into my body, I can feel the stress in my chest, like really a tightening, a little bit of a, in my belly, almost like a dropping, like a plunk. So tuning into your body and seeing where stress is in your body, how big is it? Where is it? What color, if it has a color, how is it changing or moving? then just notice where the stress may be in your body. And sometimes that can be helpful, just tuning into your body. And maybe it has a message for you there, like, I need rest, or it's all good. So you can place your hand on your heart. This is another tip. Place your hand on your heart and say something kind to yourself. It can be as simple as, I know you're trying really hard. Or for me yesterday, it was, there's always enough time. Everything will get done that needs to. So saying a kind word to yourself, that actually helps activate oxytocin, which is a bonding hormone, a feel-good hormone. And Kristen Neff has done some of the research around this. She does some beautiful self-compassion work. So activating that parasympathetic nervous system and activating the feel-good hormones by just placing your hand on your heart and saying something kind and compassionate to yourself. Notice how you feel. And I'll give you one more body, an easy one that we can do together, is movement. Certain types of movement. In yoga, there are some wonderful poses for helping to decrease stress that are geared towards very specifically activating the parasympathetic nervous system. So one is just doing some neck exercises. So you can begin, if you're sitting, you straighten up your spine, have your neck long. And as you inhale, just kind of let your body settle. And as you exhale, lower your right ear to your right shoulder. And then inhale the neck up, the head up again. And then exhale the left ear to the left shoulder. Inhale. Now, this is a very simple move. What happens is the ganglions in the parasympathetic nervous system, there's a group of them at the base of the spine, and there's a group at the top of the spine near the head. You can also bring your chin to your chest. That might activate it. And then very gently bringing your head back. Be careful with the neck. Very delicate. Or looking over to your right, looking over to your right shoulder, and then looking over to your left shoulder. And just following your breath with that. And that leads us into the breath, which we'll talk a little bit about in just a moment. So those are just three ways that you can use your body, right? You can stand in a power pose. You can place your hand on your heart. You can do movement like yoga, either just the neck or forward fold, like a Paschimottanasana, a full forward bend. Those are all fantastic. And in my one-on-one program, when I work with clients, we also look at nutrition. That's the other piece that I haven't touched on today. That's what I do more in depth in my one-on-one program. You know, I will usually go through a food log with them for a week, and I analyze the nutrition because food is medicine, and what you eat can not only heal you, but it can also create stress in the body. So I give individuals some specific ways that you can help reduce stress with food. Like, for instance, caffeine and sugar are some big culprits with stress, and just watching how much caffeine or sugar you have in your body can change it. You know, one of my teachers once said, we find it funny that we drink several cups of coffee and we go run to a meeting or come to work or get on an airplane, and then we've rushed and we're all stressed about getting there on time. And then we wonder why we feel anxious when we're pent up at a desk or in an airplane or at a meeting and our heart is thumping and racing because we've just put a whole bunch of caffeine in our system. So I always find that interesting, is that people don't notice that connection. And then you can do things like increase certain other foods in your diet, like foods that are high in magnesium, for instance. Magnesium is very calming. Okay, so that's the body. The second way of being able to have less stress, the second area, is looking at the breath, focusing on the breath. So just as the body can be used to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, so can the breath. And the way this happens is there's a complex cranial nerve in the system. This is one of the areas that I study that I studied in school as I was training. Speech language pathologists tend to do a lot of studying with this, with the different cranial nerves. And the one very complex nerve, they're all complex, but one of the ones is called the vagus nerve. And it's really interesting because it actually loops around the heart and the diaphragm. So it goes very low in the system, but it's the main part of it is up in the head, but it has the ability to trigger the rest and digest response of the parasympathetic nervous system. So it's actually quite amazing that we can activate this response by taking a deep breath. When we fill up the diaphragm and take a deep breath in the lungs, it stretches the vagus nerve, which activates the relaxation response. So that's why, so often people say, now, don't get all upset, take a deep breath. But often when people say it like that, we do get upset. But that's how that came about, is it actually does work to help calm our bodies. So the tricky thing for most of us is we take a deep breath and we fill up our lungs, but not our belly. So I'm going to teach you the three-part breath. This is one of the breaths, again, that I teach my clients, either in the yoga classes that I teach or in with my one-on-one clients. So the three-part breath is one of the yogic breathing techniques. People also use this in mindfulness. So you can do this by, again, sitting in a nice comfortable position, or standing, or laying. You can even do this laying down. And just begin by placing your hand on your belly, and as you inhale, notice if your hand moves as you breathe in. I remember the first time someone showed this to me, mine did not move. I was only breathing through my chest. So I would lift my chest would get big, but my belly would stay the same. So sometimes this takes a little bit of practice. Breathing in through your nose, see if you can expand your belly. And then allow the rib cage to expand and the collarbones to rise. So it's a three-part breath. And it works in the opposite when you're exhaling. So as you inhale, the belly expands, the rib cage opens slightly, and the collarbones rise. And then as you exhale, the collarbones move down slightly, the rib cage pulls in, and the belly pulls towards the spine. So see if you can follow follow this breath, expanding the belly, expanding the rib cage. And then letting everything reverse. Expand the belly, expand the rib cage, the collarbones lift gently. And then as you exhale, the collarbones lower, the rib cage comes in, and the belly pulls towards the spine. And see if you can bring your attention to the breath. As you breathe in and out. And you can do this for one breath when you're stressed, or you can do this for a few breaths, or 5 minutes, or 30 minutes. And after you've practiced that, if it gets to be too much, feel free to just return your breathing to a more relaxed breathing. And just come back to noticing your body now, okay? Notice if there's any stress still in your body from when we started. And just notice how it feels to be in your breath. And then come back to being here. So the breath is an amazing tool, and it's why most meditative practices focus on the breath. It's always present. It's always in the present moment. And Jon Kabat-Zinn uses it as part of the mindfulness, as part of the main basis of mindfulness, always using the breath as an anchor to come back to. And in yoga, the same thing is true, that the breath is crucial. Is very important. In fact, in yoga, they highlight when you should be breathing in, when you should be breathing out on each pose in yoga, because it is very helpful to activating the parasympathetic nervous system. Okay. So we've moved through the body. We've moved through the breath. And the third part is the mind. And again, this is kind of, you know, this is the big enchilada. This is the head honcho. This is where it all starts or ends. Here's what I know. Here's what I've learned and here's what I've experienced is that the mind is very good at thinking thoughts. And what happens often is that we believe those thoughts. And the mind was really meant to be more like a worker bee or a slave. It's not meant to be the one in control and calling the shots, which is opposite of what most of our culture believes. The problem is we think the mind is in control. But it's not. So the good news is that we can change what we think. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I had no idea we could change what we think. I thought we just watched the thoughts, which is also very good to just watch them. I thought we just watched them. And, you know, even later I was like, oh, you just don't believe the thoughts. Which is also very good. And then the step that I found really helpful was then you can change the thoughts. So changing the thoughts. We can change positive thoughts. We can change the negative thoughts into positive thoughts. In yoga, it's called pratipakshabhavana. In coaching, it's called thought work or thought flipping. Or, in the training that I have done, I'm a certified Marsha Beck life coach. And in the training that I've done, you know, we call it thought work or the work. Byron Katie is one of the originators of that work. She's got an amazing book called Loving What Is. But Brooke Castillo has also done some really interesting works, very similar, and she calls hers the model. And it's actually, both of those are very, very fascinating and has been very helpful. I'm going to take just a quick sip of water. With this thought work or this model, the idea is that we have these circumstances that are our life. You know, our house is a mess. The project really is due. Like, that's a circumstance that we can't change. Or, you know, our relationship has gone south. Those are the facts that we have. What happens is then we have thoughts about those facts. So just the fact of, you know, for instance, I'll give my example, is I have a paper due back to a publisher for one of my research articles. It's due the first week in July. And there's a lot to be done. There's a lot to be done on it still. So the thought that I have in my head creates a feeling, right? The thought of there's a lot to be done or I don't have enough time, which is the typical thought. That creates our feelings, creates my feelings, right? So the circumstance creates the thoughts create the feelings. Our feelings that we have lead to our actions or inactions. And those actions or inactions lead to the results that we have in our life, right? Whatever that is. So if we think I want to be dating, and then, you know, the circumstances, I don't have anybody to be dating, you know. And then the thought might be, oh, I don't have enough time to date. Or I don't have the energy to date. Those thoughts can lead to your actions of not doing anything, right? Can lead to feelings of feeling discouraged. Like, oh, this will never work, right? Which is another thought. So that's part of the cycle of what happens. So when with these circumstances, our circumstances are the facts, the thoughts are what we have about them, right? They create our feelings, or, you know, both emotions and what we feel in our body. That leads to our actions, and the actions lead to results. So if we can change our thoughts, then we actually have the power to change our feelings, which in turn changes our actions, which in turn can change our results, which is, you know, it's fascinating to me to think of that. I actually think that is one of the best kept secrets out there, is that all of those things are connected. So let's do an example. We can start with the example that I had, my paper is due in July, right? That's a circumstance. It really is. It's due the first week in July. And you can either take a moment and pause here if you have something to write with, paper and pencil or pen, whatever. Take time and just think about maybe a circumstance that's in your life that is maybe creates stressful thought. I'll give you just a second to do that. And then we'll go back to I have this paper due in July. Okay. So the circumstance is I have a paper due in July. Could be really, you could fill it in with anything. My kids are out of control. or, you know, that's not necessarily the circumstance. The circumstance might be the kids are yelling and screaming at the top of the lungs, but the thought is, my kids are out of control. So with mine, with a paper, my paper is due in July, that's the circumstance. There's no judgment around that. That's a truth. But my thought is, I don't have enough time, which, ugh, like even just saying that, when I feel that in my body, the feelings that come up, I come up with, I feel urgency, I feel a little upset, almost like a worry that comes up of like, oh no, and a little bit of discouragement, like I'm never going to get this done, which is another thought. So in my body, I feel that same tightness in my chest and kind of a curling in or in the pit of my stomach, like I've just been a little bit punched. So the actions that I take with that is I tend to spin. I tend to get really worried and what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And I go really fast and I tend to either not do things as well or I spend a lot of time making lists and not being productive. Right? So my result is I don't really actually get very much done because I'm up in my head, I'm worried about it, I'm thinking about it, instead of in that other place. So what do we do? Well, first, just take a moment and acknowledge that that's what stress is. Right? And accept like, oh, okay, I'm stressed. This goes back to feeling your body and where is the stress in your body can be really helpful. And you can even go back to those body and breath pieces. Sometimes it's really helpful to do get to the mind after you've gone through the body. Maybe I'm just going to put my hand on my heart and say, it's okay. Everything's going to be all right. Find my breath, a nice deep breath. Three-part breath, making sure my belly moves. And I can ask myself, is it true? Is it true I don't have enough time? And sometimes just asking that question gives me enough of a step back. Is it true? Well, it may feel true right now. If it isn't enough, if I say, it's true, I don't have enough time, that is very true, then I may look for evidence that it may not be true. Like, you know, in the past, I always seem to finish. I always seem to get something turned in when I need to. I always meet deadlines. And if I don't, even then, what's the worst thing that's happened? Not much. So gathering a little evidence. And then what I like to do is work on changing the thought. Right? So if the thought is, I don't have enough time, how could I change that thought? Could be, I always seem to have enough time, which doesn't necessarily feel believable to me. And one of the important pieces with this is it should be believable. It should be a believable statement, or at least mildly believable. So maybe I always seem to have enough time doesn't quite resonate for me. So I'm going to try. Maybe I have enough time. Maybe I have enough time. Or it could be, I'm learning to believe I'm having enough time. So how does it feel? Well, maybe I'll pause here and make sure you have enough time. Sorry. Make sure that you have time to do that thought flipping yourself. So see if you can find the opposite of what you thought or a believable statement. So see if that, you've got something. Sometimes writing down two or three is helpful. In Byron Katie's work, she always suggests writing down several and then trying them on and seeing which one feels feels better. So how does it feel to have the thought, you know, for me, mine was, maybe I have enough time. And when I think maybe I have enough time, it's like there's this, for my body, it feels lighter. I feel like there's a little bit of an opening in my heart, in my belly. And it feels believable, like, well, maybe it is true that I have enough time to do all the things that I need to do before this deadline. So how does it feel? Check in with yourself. And see how it feels to have that new thought. Try it on. So that's the thought change, and we're checking in with the feelings. And when I, and then the next part is the action. What action am I likely to take when I feel better? Well, when I feel like maybe I have enough time, that urgency goes away, the spinning goes away, and I begin to have the possibility of like, okay, I just have to take one thing at a time. So my actions might be actually just doing something instead of spinning out of control. And then the results I would have, I would imagine, if I'm taking things one thing at a time and I'm not spinning, I would be more productive in working on my paper. So that's my example. The thought was, you know, the circumstance was, I have a paper due in July. My thought was, I don't have enough time. And I changed that thought to, maybe I have enough time. Maybe I have enough time. So I went from feeling upset and tightness and urgency to feeling like I could take a step. So my actions go from spinning and worry to actually doing something. And then my results go from not really actually getting much done to getting things done. So that's one, that's the way that I've chosen to work with the mind. So those three things together, those three areas, the body, activating the parasympathetic nervous system in the body. So you can even just think, you know, body. What can I do with my body? Oh, I can stand with my hands on my hips, with my arms in like a superwoman pose, and my legs wide. Or I can place my hand on my heart. Or I can just move my body in a way that activates calmness. The breath. Taking a deep breath. So I recommend doing these three things in order. Doing the power pose, or placing your hand on your heart, or moving the body, activating your breath. Deep breath, making sure the belly is active. Because the breath is always, again, you don't need any equipment to do that. You don't need anything special. You can just remember your body and then your breath. And then the mind, changing your thoughts. So watching the thoughts, what thoughts are there? That can be, even just watching them can be huge. But then finding out like, oh, the thought I'm having about this is actually that I'm going to fail, or all partners are untrustworthy, or my children are out of control. It's summertime. That's why I keep coming back to that one. So those three areas, following those thoughts is really helpful. So what I hear mostly with people when they're dealing with stress is that they need support in dealing with stress, that this is actually really challenging when they're first practicing. You know, I just gave you just a little bit of the program that I use. But they need support in being able to use their particular content, whatever it is, their particular situation, and using these tools, especially the thought work, the thought flipping. So what I'm offering a new one-on-one program. I've offered this as a group before, but what I heard was people left the group saying they wanted more. So I'm offering this program as a one-on-one program, an individualized program, to help support you with less stress and more peace in your life. So I'm opening it up today. You can go to my website. My website is centeredyou.com/stress-less/. So centeredyou.com/stress-less/. And it's a one-on-one program, 6-week program. This is designed from the 10 years, basically, of trial and error, of me being stressed and pulling together, well, how can I figure out how to be less stressed? Going from, you know, when I was telling you about the beginning of the session, that the doctors and the massage therapists and the physical therapists and all the things that I needed to do, I've condensed those into a 6-week program to give you these skills that you can practice with me to give someone that can support you in finding a life of more peace and calm, of less stress. If I could have hired someone to help me 15 years ago, I would have been so excited. I would have been ecstatic instead of having to kind of find the path myself. So I now am excited that I can offer it to other people who are dealing with the same sort of stress, and so I can save you the time and the energy that it took for me. So this is, as I said, it's a 6-week program, and it has lots of videos and MP3s, as well as one-on-one coaching sessions with me, so you can go deeper into whatever it is that you are feeling stressed about, so you can get very individualized help. And what I'm doing right now is I'm offering a free 30-minute call so that you and I can talk to see if working together would be right for you. And I can go into the details specifically with the program, and we can see if the things that you've tried, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and we can talk for just 30 minutes and see if this program would be a good fit for you. So if you go to the webpage, thecenteredyou.com /stress-less, if you go there, on there you'll see there's a link for signing up for a free talk with me. It also has all the details about the program. Like, for instance, I recorded a yoga video that you can download and keep for your own for very specific yoga poses. Well, I mentioned earlier that I'll go through nutrition as well. So you'll fill out a week-long food planner, and I can look at the food that you're eating and make suggestions as well. And you'll also learn some other specific breath work and some specific thought tools as well, working with the mind. And those are the areas. And then some deep relaxation tools, like we didn't have time to go into today with, you'll have a recorded deep relaxation, which is one of the fantastic tools from Yoga Nidra. So you'll get your very own deep relaxation that you can download and listen to any time you feel stressed. So I am going to open up the line now and take it off lecture mode. We have about 5 minutes left, and if anyone has any questions, please feel free to ask any questions you may have. either about the steps that we did today, if you have any questions, or about the program. So I really enjoyed talking with everyone today. It was so good to be able to share this. This is something that I've wanted to do for a while, and I'm so glad I was able to schedule it today. And if you have questions and you're feeling shy about asking, please feel free to, you can either find me on Facebook on Centered Living. My page is Centered Living. That's the name of my business. And you can find me there. You can find me at the website, centeredyou.com. And again, my name is Rebecca Schisler Marshall, and I'm a certified Martha Beck life coach, and I'm also a certified intermediate Hatha yoga instructor through Integral Yoga, and I've been trained in mindfulness meditation as well, and I'm also a level 2 Reiki practitioner. So I have kind of pull all those things together as I work with folks. And it, as I said, it was just a joy to be able to share this with you today. So last chance for questions. Okay, very good. Oh, you can also email me. My email is rebecca@centeredyou, again, that's YOU.com. All right, I'll be sending out the recording soon. So thanks so much, everyone. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.